This week, representatives from almost 200 countries are gathering in Marrakesh, Morocco, for the annual United Nations Climate Summit. And one thing that's different this year, there's now a climate deal in place. The Paris Climate Change Agreement was signed by more than 170 countries, including China and the U.S., the world's largest greenhouse gas emitters. And it went into effect just last Friday as Americans try to elect a new president. One candidate, Hillary Clinton, believes in man-made climate change. The other, Donald Trump, does not. So what happens now as world leaders gather? Well, Michael Oppenheimer is a professor of geosciences and international affairs at Princeton University. He was the lead author of a UN report on extreme climate events. Professor, welcome.
Glad to be here.
And remind us, this thing that probably went a little under the radar of most people, the Paris Agreement that it was enacted, what does it do?
The Paris Agreement is the culmination, at least so far, of a process that's been going on for 25 years. It's aimed at curtailing the emissions of the greenhouse gases, that is carbon dioxide and other substances that are creating an invisible blanket and warming the earth.
It also sets a goal of limiting global temperatures by the year 2100. So what can we expect to happen at the Marrakesh summit?
This summit is going to be one of several that are going to have to tie up loose ends that were left open when the Paris Agreement was concluded. The most important of these is the so-called transparency factors, which are basically monitoring, reporting, and validating claims that countries make as far as how much they've cut their emissions and how fast and from what sources. It's possible, for instance, the countries err and misreport or not have the capacity to know exactly what their emissions are or cheat sometimes. All of these things happen. So we need a comprehensive system that allows one country to be able to look at the books, so to speak, and tell whether a country is doing what it claimed to do in terms of the emissions reductions that it wants to achieve by the final year of the Paris Agreement, which is 2030.
So transparency, monitoring, that's one question, but the other is enforcement.
Yes. Now, here is the big loophole in the Paris Agreement, and it's why the so-called transparency provisions are so important. There is no legal hard enforcement of this treaty, as there is in many other treaties. That is, if one country fails to meet its obligations, then other countries don't have recourse, as they do in other treaties, for instance, to apply trade sanctions. So it's important in that kind of situation for countries really to be able to see what other countries are doing and failing to do. So if they fail to do what they said they were going to do, there can be basically an international firestorm over it.
So the hope is that some of these things are hammered out this week. But meantime, take a look at what some are saying is recent progress on climate change. There was the deal to phase out hydrofluorocarbons, HFCs, the refrigerants used in air conditioners and refrigerators, and also an agreement by the aviation industry to cut their carbon dioxide emissions. What's your take on where we are? Momentum or too little too late?
It's a little bit of both. There's quite a lot of momentum. And it comes about because countries have realized that reaching an agreement that's actually enforceable and makes something happen among almost 200 countries, which is what the Paris Agreement is a difficult process. It takes a long time to negotiate. And because of the lack of enforcement and compliance mechanisms, doesn't have a guaranteed outcome. In contrast, the kinds of smaller scale agreements that are much more specific around very particular chemicals or sectors, like the substitute chemicals that are replacing the freons, the so-called hydrofluorocarbons in the Montreal Agreement, or emissions from one sector, the aviation sector, that those kinds of agreements are not only easier to reach, but are much more enforceable because the treaties that they fall under already have very stringent compliance provisions. For instance, a country could forbid another country's aircraft from landing in its airports if the country decided that the other country wasn't enforcing this new agreement on carbon dioxide emissions from aviation. So we've seen now a couple of these types of agreements outside the framework of Paris, and I expect we're going to see more and more. So that's a good thing. The kind of it's too late aspect of this, and I want to say it's never too late because it'll always get worse until we start completely, greatly reducing the emissions of these gases. But the too late part of it is that the countries did set a limit of about 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit as the ultimate global warming that we should avoid, because beyond that warming, the scientific evidence is the risk just climbed very high and very fast. So if we want to avoid the danger zone, we would have gotten on reducing emissions at a much faster rate much earlier. 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit is still achievable, but barely so, and it will require a lot of very firm effort very quickly. And if we don't put enough effort into it, it'll be too late to avoid that target. But that doesn't mean, you know, it's end of the game. It just means we will suffer more damages than we wanted to. We'll be in the danger zone, and we had better reduce emissions very quickly to get out of the danger zone as soon as possible.
That's Michael Oppenheimer, professor of geosciences and international affairs at Princeton. The UN Climate Conference in Morocco begins today and runs through November 18th. Professor, thanks so much.
I was glad to be here.